Welcome to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast with me, Sherry Honeycutt, Life Coach, where I have one mission with this podcast, and that is to help you get out of your velvet rut, to stop living by default and waiting to have the life you crave. This is a podcast where I help you take inspired action, step into the responsibility for your own happiness, and start every day figuring out what you can do to create the life you want, because it won't accidentally happen, my friends. So lean into today's content, make the intention to take away a nugget or two, and more importantly, decide that you're going to implement whatever you take away from here today, because it's on you, baby. It's on you to create that life that you want, and I know you can do it. So let's go. Hey there, have I got a treat for you? I'm super excited that the next few episodes of the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast are a series of conversations that I had with amazing people several years back. In fact, most of them were recorded in the throes of the pandemic. But don't worry, they are full of gems of wisdom that really are evergreen, and I can't wait for you to hear them. So join me on a trip down memory lane over the next few episodes of my podcast, where you will benefit from these never before heard, too good to miss recordings that I've had stashed away. And trust me, they're packed with juicy insights that I hope you will enjoy as much as we enjoyed recording them. And remember, it's never too late to start designing your life on purpose. I'm excited. Oh my goodness, I'm excited. That might have even just recorded. I'm excited. I'm kind of pumped. I feel like I've had five cups of coffee, and really the only thing I've done is log on and look at my dear friend Jen Kohler's face on this screen that we're getting ready to do this podcast. Good morning. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am so well. I'm really also very excited to see your face.
I know. It's so good. Jen I want to say she's a new friend. We met at a retreat a couple of months ago, but you know, when you meet somebody and you're like, oh, the hearts connect and everything out of their mouth is like, oh, that, yeah, yeah, sit by me. That's how I felt when I met you, girlfriend.
It is. I felt like I had known you for all of time.
Yeah. Yeah. QI roll for folks who don't believe that, but I believe it, right? We may have known each other for all of time. So when I started to have folks on here, when you're at retreat or when you meet somebody and you have these stories, one of the things I know about you, Jen, while I don't know the details, I know that you've been on a path your life, and there's been times where there's been things that maybe weren't going the way you wanted to, and then I have seen and heard your stories, how things are blossoming, and that's exactly what we talk about on this podcast. You know, how do you wake up, or how do you get, you know, row your boat over into the part of the river that you want to be in? And that's what I think you're doing right now. Am I right?
I agree with you 100%. I have not always been awake. I have always been a very spiritual being, but I was very lost and confused, I would say.
Okay. Confused. So I want you to go there. What does that tell me? What does that mean? Lost and confused.
So my life, like I grew up in California, and my family moved every 2 years. I didn't have a home. I wasn't in the military. My dad was not in the military, but we moved every 2 years of my life. And so the older I got, the more solitary I became, and the less I felt at home in myself. I felt alone. I felt like I didn't belong. And that is really so important in the work that I do today, because I desperately wanted to belong. I desperately wanted to feel like I was part of something. And so as I got older and I didn't feel like I belonged, I sort of made that my story. I don't belong, right? Oh. And so I walked through life. And what I've really discovered was, in that not belonging and not feeling like I had a home, was that I really pushed people away. So cue abandoned before I become abandoned. Right.
Right. Yeah. All those things that's coming to mind, self-fulfilling prophecy or whatever, you've heard it, but sort of you created the very thing you were afraid of, which Correct. We know that that's how it works, right? What we focus on is what we create.
Totally.
Duh. But
so I was just, you know, I had friends and all of those things, but like, I also never felt like I belonged. And I came online 6 years ago, and I really started to work on that. And as I started to work on that, I found my home within myself. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but it's really what happened is that I actually decided that I was my home, and I decided that I was going to change that story. And I'm still in the process of that. I mean, I have a beautiful, beautiful tribe of women around me, and I do belong. Mm-hmm. And I really just know that I am safe in my body and I'm at home in my body. Look, I'm wearing red today, right? Like,
yeah.
Home in my body.
Home in my body. So I, Jen, do this for me. I want to go, if you can, to the time right before you, the 5 or 6 years ago. What happened that whopped you upside the head or got your attention, or what happened that said, that made you do this searching and landing where you are now? What went on?
Well, I did a lot of seeking. I did a lot of traveling. I did a lot of wandering. I wandered around the world. I traveled all over the world looking for myself, looking for my truth, looking for my partner. I moved to California. Mm-hmm. I lived on a commune. I mean, I did all sorts of really fun things. And I was always this solitary being. I met my husband and we decided that we wanted to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And in that decision, I made a decision. My body did not cooperate. And for 7 years, Bill and I tried to have a baby. And this is my whopper. This is the thing that whopped me upside the head.
Okay.
I was so desperately depressed and sad that I couldn't have a baby. And so I had to really dive in and dive deep to in loss. There was so much loss. There was so much loss in my, you know, of me being a mother and feeling like I couldn't give my family a baby or give my husband a baby or give myself a baby. Like, I had so much story around all of this. And so for 7 years, we tried to have a baby and we went to doctors and, you know, I mean, yada, yada, yada. Like, I went through all of the things, right? And what I really came to was a sense of trust in my body and a sense of faith that I didn't have prior to that. So in the loss, I realized that we have to have faith. And if we don't have faith, then we don't really have, if you don't have faith that there's something greater than you, if you don't have faith that there's something bigger than you, God, universe, creator, like, what are we here for? And so I've really started to dive into that spirituality piece of myself. And that is what, that's my awakening. That's my awakening with in the loss.
In the loss. So, you know, and that is, I don't want to call it necessarily a universal story, but it's certainly a common story that it's in our pain. It is in that part of that squinchiness or tightness or denial or grief or something we can't have that we then it wakes us up. And it's some kind of pain. I have a little acronym for pain. Please acknowledge I'm in need, P-A-I-N. Oh. And that when we have that pain, we just go, okay, what is it I need? What is it I need? And you really listened to that, it sounds like.
I did.
And in that loss. Now, I know you have a child now. How did all that turn out?
I do. I had an ectopic pregnancy, which landed me in the hospital and in all sorts of procedures and all sorts of problems. And then my doctor said, we're going to have to do IVF if you want to have a baby.
Okay.
And so a miracle happened. And we had this insurance plan that allowed us to have a small amount of our IVF paid for. So, you know, $100,000 procedure became $40,000. So And then my parents helped us. And so we had three embryos put in, and we say that the one ate the others. So we got the most brilliant, the most gigantic, big, huge baby on the planet. He was 11 pounds, and I have my kid. And at 40, I had a baby, and now he's 8 and a half.
I know. And he's adorable. And,
he is.
And just, he's vibrant when I see his pictures on the book face, and I just see the joy of you all. So, gosh. And so I'm just thinking, as folks who are listening to this, that there may be part of them who are still in that place of, I can't have what I want. And I bring people on these podcasts, and they sort of tell you the story, you know, the happy ending, but I want people to really hear 7 years and not as something laborious or depressing, but it takes time to shift and grow into our new way of being and being conscious, like, oh, I don't want that anymore. I want something else. I want something else. And so now, Jen, tell us where you are now, because I know you've brought this into your professional life. It's not just how you live your life. Tell us more what you do.
So I want to bring in this idea of persistence. And I believe that this is the life of an entrepreneur. As a spiritual entrepreneur, you cannot do this life or this business without persistence. And I believe that that is the gift that Wyatt gave me in taking 7 years to get here.
Yeah, right? You had to stay up on that. Like, keep going, keep going.
I had to fail over and over and over and over again. And I had to learn how to continue on. And I had to learn how to decide to have a happy life regardless. I had to decide that my needs mattered regardless. I had to decide that I was going to persist and live a good life regardless. And so that is the gift that Wyatt gave me. And really, it's the gift that God gave me. Oh, it makes me cry. And it's the gift of my business, because I never quit. I never consider, well, no, wait, I consider daily quitting my business, because entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart.
No, it is hard. It can be really hard, but you don't quit.
No, I persist, because I know that my message is important. And I know that each next loving step that I take, and when I really truly listen, and I truly have faith and trust that the universe is telling me what I am supposed to be doing, and I listen to my body, and I listen to that sound, that universal sound, that is when I get on your podcast. That is when I go to a retreat and meet you. That is when I go and find a new way of partnering, right? Like, so when I partner truly with Source Energy, I know that my next loving step is always the right step. And that is that persistence. And that is my business. I mean, that is what I do. So, that's what that brought me to.
Oh my gosh. True transparency here. Okay. I'm an entrepreneur, as you know, a business owner, and I believe everything you just said. And I want you to know, there are days, it feels like almost every day, I'm like, tap into Source Energy. Can I trust what I'm getting? I mean, do I trust it? Do I know it? Is that really what I'm supposed to be doing? I mean, and I'm not, this is not my first rodeo, but this is, it's not, I will tell you, there are days that doesn't come easily for me. Do you find that in your work, that this is, it sounds easier than it is? You're laughing.
Oh no, it's all rainbows and unicorns, Sherry. It's fine. Fine.
Once you decide, you're just fine.
So I'm a Reiki master teacher. I've been a Reiki master teacher for about 20 years. And so mastery has been a long thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of process, right? And so no, it does not come easy. It does not come easy. I don't think that's like part of my path. Part of my path is that I continue to persist through all of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so my business, I get up every morning and I tap into that source energy and I ask my body, body, are you ready to come along today? And what is my next best step? And I choose, I decide every single day that today is going to be a good day. And, you know, some days are harder than others, but I would say the majority of my life is joyful and blissful. Mm-hmm. And I truly am happy. And I think that is the mastery, the emotional mastery, the energetic mastery, the self mastery mm-hmm. that comes along with the work of 20 years of doing this work for so long and really diving in and not really just giving myself an out to not be in it every day. I choose every day.
Every day. And gosh, that, you know, that's what my work is about, is realizing mm-hmm. that we have the choice. And in fact, if we're not choosing, we are choosing even by not choosing. Do you know what I mean? We've got to choose to show up. All of a sudden I have a background noise. Can you hear the background noise?
No.
Okay. Maybe it's spirit just making me hear my own words twice in a row. Who knows?
Spirit's like, listen up, Sherry.
Listen up, Sherry. I'm talking to you, girlfriend. So let me see if I can turn that down. I was talking to Joy Kingsborough, someone, of course, you and I know together, but I'll just mention it on here, her phenomenal work. And we were talking about those good days and those bad days. And the difference is when we have a bad day, we just remember that there's still nothing wrong with us on those days.
Right.
There's still nothing to be fixed. It's just a low energy day.
Correct.
It's just a thing, and not make it into a big, huge, gnarly, oh, I'm off the track, or oh my gosh, I've failed again.
Yes.
It's what we tell ourselves about what's going on in our life. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree 100%. And I have been working with Joy for a long time.
A long time. I know.
She is, she has been a long time mentor for me and definitely has really helped me to see myself. Mm-hmm. And I love Joy. Yes.
Yeah.
So I do think that we do have choice. I think that when we wake up each day, we make it what we need to make it. And I love your design your life on purpose. It's like so exactly what I want to do every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you and I've talked about this specifically, but my belief that the number one thing to living a happy life is to take 100% responsibility for your life. And that doesn't mean it's easy, but when you really accept the power and the responsibility for your own life, and you're not at the whim and whimsy of the whatever, your uterus or a pandemic or genetics or politicians or your neighbors or the scales or your bank account, whatever that's where happiness resides.
Yeah. I remember very clearly the day that I took radical responsibility for my life. I was walking down the street.
You can share.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I'm going to share it. I was walking down the street in Fort Collins, Colorado, where I lived, and it was a beautiful day. And I all of a sudden had this like total full body epiphany that no one was coming to save me. And I had to sit down. Like I found a bench and I was like, started crying. And I was like, oh my God, no one is coming to save me. And I realized the government is not coming to save me. My parents weren't coming to save me. No knight in shining armor was coming to save me. The bank wasn't going to save me from the horrible debt that I had created, the horrible mess that I had made of my finances.
Right.
Nobody was coming.
Nobody
and I realized that it was me, that I was here, and that I had to do it. And my life changed in that moment. It was a life-changing, life-altering moment where I realized that I had to take radical responsibility for all of my behavior, good or bad, and not judge it, and just know that it was, and then move forward. And I mean, it really changed everything in my life. And I got my finances in order, and I got myself together. And my life changed in that moment.
Brilliant. Imagine waiting for somebody to come. And we already know they're not. But imagine just sitting there waiting for for eons. And it's like, oh, man. Nobody's coming. I said to someone yesterday, I'm like, you know, I used to, when I was single, I would peek through the mini blinds and see if there was a man on a white horse, and nope. So go empty your own trash, girlfriend. You're on your own. But you know, we still look, we want to be rescued. It's a romantic notion, but we can rescue ourselves.
Yeah. Well, we're so conditioned, right? I mean, it's like you literally said, the knight in shining armor on a white horse, like that is not real. And I mean, we can have a wonderful partner.
Yeah. But no,
and
rescue.
Also, they're not here to rescue us. They're not here to save us. That's not their job.
In fact, if they are, if someone comes and says they're here to rescue you, run, Forrest, run. You don't want to be in relationship with that person.
No kidding.
So talk to me about wealth consciousness and healing and stuff you're creating.
This is exciting. This is an exciting conversation. I believe that we as healers, particularly, so healers, mentors, coaches, you know, the people who are here to help, the therapists, all of those folks, I believe that we really and truly deserve to make a good living. And I was a massage therapist and a Reiki practitioner, and I tapped out at about $25,000 a year, and I was burnt out. And guess what? Mm-hmm. You cannot live on $25,000 a year, folks. That is actually poverty. So I was living in poverty. And my husband was also had a job that wasn't paying him well enough. And we were in debt up to our eyeballs. And I kept doing this work thinking, there's got to be more. There's got to be more out there that I can work with, that I can do. And I want to keep helping people. I don't want to do something that I'm not aligned with. And so I started really tapping into my money mindset. And so it started with my mind, right? And then I realized that, you know, money and wealth is actually a currency. It's an energy. And I know that people say that and it sounds woo-woo, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And when we really start to open ourselves up to the frequency of wealth, which is an actual frequency, just like the frequency of love or the frequency of bliss, the frequency of joy, when we move out of fear and anxiety and we move up the emotional scale to these higher frequencies, we can actually align with the frequency of wealth, and really your wealth becomes just, it becomes easier. It just starts to flow. Yeah. And I really do think it is, it's about body. It's about your mind. It's about your spirit. It's about releasing those stories and forgiving. It's about taking radical responsibility, right? So I have a program called Embody Wealth that I have been working on and creating and getting the courage to like actually put it out there, you know, because who am I to talk about money? Who am I to talk about money? I was on Medicaid. I was on food stamps. I was totally living in poverty. And I am not any longer. My business is making six figures. I am like killing it. I'm killing it. And I'm also totally relaxed and calm and doing really well in my emotional system. So when I think about wealth consciousness, I like can't wait for people to wake up to the fact that they are actually the creators of their lives, right? When we talk about healing, we start to move beyond the healing and we start to recognize that we can create whatever we want. It's the universal law. It's law. It's it's the universal law of correspondence, right? We are able to look outside of ourselves and say, oh, I don't really like what I'm looking at right now. Oh, it's time to come in and do the inner work. Because our inner landscape is reflected in our world outside of us, right? And so when I started to realize that, I looked outside of myself and I thought, oh, I don't really like what I'm seeing right now. Time to do some work. And that work has really led me to this wealth consciousness concept. And
I'm so glad you shared that story, because you shared with me the part about poverty and the Medicaid, and then, you know, and those pieces, which was concrete data that you were living, you know, not there was not a healthy exchange of monetary of what you were putting out in the world. And yet, and you had settled for that. We'll use that language. That may not be the words you used. But then you did this shift. And again, not overnight. It's maybe something that's simple, but not easy, or, you know, and again, it can, I guess it could be easy if we decided it was.
I actually think it was an overnight, it was another overnight moment for me.
Was it?
Yes.
Wow.
With joy.
Phenomenal. Yeah. With joy. Yeah. Well, and you know, it's one of those things that I say, and you can push back on this if you don't agree with me, but in one of my trainings, I'll say, you know, do you ever know anybody who quit smoking cold turkey? And people will raise their hand. And I always say, you know, I don't know that they did. I bet you that they tried many times and just never voiced it. You know what I mean? And so there are moments that all along you hear a podcast, you run into a friend, you see a book title, you see a meme, you see another podcast, and these are leading us all the way sometimes to these moments where we shift. It's why our daily diet of what we see and who we hang out with and what we read are so important, right?
Mm-hmm,
and then all of a sudden we wake up and we go, oh my God, I'm not that person. I've changed.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's how I interpreted your story when you shared it with me when we were in Arizona.
Yeah.
That it was seemingly overnight, but you've been doing the work.
Oh, yeah. No, it's an overnight story in 5 years. In 10 years.
Like Cher said, I became an overnight success. It took 10 years to become an overnight success.
Totally.
So, yeah. But having said that, then all of a sudden you can awake and you open up and you go, here's where I am. You've got a six-figure business. You've got not a frenetic, crazy, running around like a chicken with your head cut off business. A calm, aligned,
spiritual,
empowered, spiritual. Mm-hmm. And what I also hear, Jen, is that you don't spend a lot of time going, how.
No.
You just go, what's the next question? Am I right?
What's
that?
The You're next right? most loving step that I can take in my business? And then I listen. And that really started for me when I really started to recognize that I was source energy. And I knew that I was source energy in a body, but I like, it was an overnight moment where someone, Joy, came to me and was like, I'm on fire today. I want to talk about this. And she really like helped me to see that I am source and that my husband is source and that you are source. And it just gave me new eyes, but also that money is source. Money is source energy. And if I am source energy and money is source energy, then aren't I money? I am the frequency of wealth. And it shifted everything for me. It really was. Everything. That was my shifting moment. Now, yes, I had done all the work that had gotten me to that
but
moment.
But then it all the little gears.
It just all unfolded. And I really realized that if I really listen and I really do take my next best step, even if it seems crazy, like I went to Disney World during a pandemic and paid all in cash. And I mean, the whole thing was so amazing. I was like, I'm crazy. I'm a crazy person right now. What am I doing? And we had the best time. And my business has been thriving since I took my kid to Disney World, because I know that it helped me to feel luxury embodied. It helped me to have fun. And when we're having fun, we raise our vibration. When we raise our vibration, we are in the frequency. We're more aligned with the frequency of wealth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just like nodding my head. Amen, sister. Amen, sister.
Amen, sister. Amen.
So, I want to shift gears a little. It's all still in the same vein, but numerology, you know, and I will confess I'm newer to numerology. I'm attracted to it. I'm broadening my understanding of it. This is something you know a lot about and you use it as part of your spiritual practice. And then when we logged on before we start hitting recording, I heard her over there shuffling cards. And I had already pulled out like a tarot deck. I'm like, can we pull a card today? But I'm going to talk to the listeners about numerology and then maybe let's do something with that. Can we?
Oh, yeah. That sounds like fun. Yeah. So I actually started learning numerology through learning tarot. So your tarot okay. is like spot on with that numerology because they're so interconnected. Mm-hmm. So yeah. really the numerology, the tarot really came from this numerology. Yeah. So when you see the numbers on a card, like a numerological card, or I mean like on a tarot card, there's a ton of numerology within all of that. And that's actually how I started to learn numerology was I started to study tarot. So
okay.
as I started to study the tarot, I started to memorize the numbers and to be like, oh, the five means, you know, change, course correction, yada, yada, right? And so mm-hmm. I started to memorize what that number meant. And then I would look at the card and know that there was some sort of a numerological meaning behind the tarot card.
Gotcha.
Now, I've since learned actual, like, we call it quantum numerology, practical numerology, and now I've done advanced numerology. So numerology is really the way that the universe speaks to us. It's all in code, right? The, mm-hmm. You see the numbers. You see 444 constantly, right? And if you've ever looked mm-hmm. online and been like, gosh, I wonder what that 444 means. If you look online, it'll tell you, you know, angel numbers. The angels are looking out for you. And I love mm-hmm. that meaning, actually. And it's one of the things that really showed up for me in my awakening was numbers started talking to me. You'll see 1111, right? What does 1111 mean? It's like a portal into a different universe, into a different timeline. It's really asking you to step into another higher self, another aspect of yourself. Are you willing? Are you open? Are you ready to like step into a higher version of you? Right.
Can I just jump in and tell you something real quick? Yeah, here? Can I jump in?
Yeah.
I just decided to offer a workshop on 1111. I had no idea this minute that that's what that meant. I just, yes. I'm just like mouth. I'm gobsmacked.
You're like, wait a minute. Did I do that? See, you're, yeah, like, you knew.
Yeah, on some level. I mean, I knew it had great alliteration, 1111, you know. Okay, yeah. Keep going. I just had to throw right. that in. Sorry.
So we really start to see that when people are really starting to wake up, that is actually a big aspect, is that you'll start to see numbers on the clock. You'll start to see numbers in different places. Maybe you'll see them on license plates, okay? Mm-hmm. But the numbers all have a specific meaning. And when you start to really understand the meaning of the numbers, we start to embody them and you start to sort of understand what each number means. And so like we can talk about your numerology from a blueprint or a personality standpoint. We really, really understand ourselves through numbers. And this is how I've really learned how to know myself, is by understanding what my numbers are and what my blueprint literally looks like, because everything is okay. really coded. Okay. Now, I'm a number four. So I am the okay. emperor. I am stable. I am a leader. I am foundational. I am safe. I am secure. I am a natural born. I'm a natural born leader. Now, mm-hmm. you had asked me that, you know, 5 years ago when I got my first blueprint, I was like, yeah, no, you got the wrong person. Because I wasn't ready
yeah.
to step yeah. into that leadership role. But really, mm-hmm. when I started to understand that that was what I was born to do, that it was what I was born to be, I started to embody it. And I would say really silly things, you know, I am the emperor. And like, I would walk around my house like, yeah, I'm a leader, you know, and like, it really helped me to step into a leadership role and to really mm-hmm. know myself. So we can really see our core personalities in our numerology. We can okay. start to see then there's something called, you know, arrows that we start to look at. So there's like different personality traits that people can exhibit. So if I'm a four and you're a four, I don't remember what your number is. You're a three. So if mm-hmm. I was a four and you were a four, we would have different arrows. There would be different things that would set us apart from other fours, gotcha. Right? So not all fours are exactly the same. Now we might have right. very similar traits and patterns, but there's going to be differences. So you're the three, you're the empress.
I'm the empress. Right?
And I am actually a day number empress. So I'm the empress and the emperor, masculine and feminine. It just helps us to know ourselves. So this is one of the things I love most about numerology, is that you get to really understand how you walk through the world. And it helps you to understand your karma and your dharma. And so mm-hmm. your life path, why are you here? I mean, don't we all want to know why we're here?
Yeah.
Numerology gives you a really clear indication of what you were coded to do on this planet, why you're here, what lessons you're meant to learn. Are you here to be love? Are you here to be a spiritual being, you know, and help the people to learn something very specific? Are you here to learn how to be the empress? Mm-hmm. Are you here to learn how to receive? Are you here to learn how to X, Y, and Z, have courage right. and strength, like whatever that looks like, right? So mm-hmm. we really look at our strengths and our perceived weaknesses. And it's really a beautiful way to really understand you. So to know thyself, right? To know thyself is everything. Yeah. When you know yourself, you're able to walk through the world in a more authentic way. And these are not going to be surprising things for you generally. When you read your blueprint, when you look at your numbers and someone reads them to you, you're going to be like, I see myself. It's like witnessing
absolutely. Yourself.
It's so cool.
You know, I just was thinking about it as I've always loved sort of those assessments from the Cosmo quiz to the more, you know, and really, I mean, I love to go to psychics. I love things that really help me see me. Yes. And often there's not huge surprises, but there's some validation and there's some confidence you gain from hearing it come back to you of who you are. And then I'll just say for me, as I'm scratching the surface of numerology for myself, and it says to me, you are creative and expressive. And I'm like, I am. I know that about me. And I'm here to do that because the numbers even align with that. So there's this confidence you get from hearing your numerology.
And it shows
I don't know
you.
About you, but I can. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you.
That's okay. That's what we do. It's all good. What were you about to say? It shows you what?
It shows you your potential and the possibility of your life.
Yeah. Possibility. Yeah.
And that's what advanced numerology does. It's like, it really shows you what's possible in your life. And it's so good.
I know. So just for kicks and giggles and for some, just for listeners, let's do a card or let's do something with numerology. Sure. What feels exciting to do? What's something that we could do here?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to do a combination of the tarot and and the numerology, because I think that people will resonate deeply with that and it'll feel fun. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just do a reading for our readers or for our listeners right now. Like, who's listening to us? What messages want to come through for the people who are tuning in to us? Like, we can feel them energetically, right? We know that there is going to be a certain person who is coming to listen to Sherry and Jen. Like, who is this person? And what do they need to hear? This message is a universal message. So I am like a universal channel. I'm a conscious channel. And so I usually read for the collective. Okay. It's something that I am able to tap into pretty easily. And I do something that I've been doing for the past few years is called the Daily Pulse. And the Daily Pulse is where I tap into the universal consciousness and I tap into the numerology of the day and I receive messages. So that's what I do every single day. And there is actually a pulse of the universe. There's a pulse of the planet. And I am very tuned into it. And so this is how I read. This is how I read.
All right.
Okay. So we're going to read what's top of mind, what we want, and what we need.
Okay.
Oh, love it. That's how I always start every tarot session. Oh, I love it. And my clients go, what are you going to say? What's going to happen? Okay. Yeah. So our first card is Temperance. What is top of mind for the people who are watching this? There is Temperance.
Temperance. Okay.
So there's this feeling of alchemization. There's there's this feeling of being on a journey. Okay. And on this journey, you want, they want you to know that you are halfway through, right? You're like in a midway point right now. And it's a really nice time for you to take a cool rest. So we have an angel here in this card. So there's like this angelic presence in the card. Mm-hmm. So there's an angelic presence with you. That's the second angel reference, I think, that we've said today. Mm-hmm. And so yes. Really paying attention to the messages that want to come through for you. There's also this feeling of bringing your masculine and feminine into alignment. So recognizing that you are whole, recognizing that you're already whole. You don't have to worry if you feel overly masculine or you feel overly feminine. You are whole. Allow yourself to harmonize just by asking the body to do so. You have been on a great journey. You've come a long way. You can see that there's like a mountain behind you and a big sun behind you. The sun is setting or coming up. Whichever one you choose, but you've come all this way down this pathway and you've come to a cool watery spot. There's lots of green around you. There's lots of growth around you. So this is the thing that's top of mind for you. It's really like asking us to connect in with nature, to recognize that we are nature, to connect in with source energy. Right. Mm-hmm. And the number is 10 is 14. So 4 + 1 = 5. 5 is about course correction. It's about change. We are talking about with the 5. It's like, do you need a mentor? Are you looking for some spiritual support? Or are you a mentor and you're looking to open up your practice a little further? So there's a lot of meaning in that 5. But the main meaning that I feel from that 5 right now is that we are seeking freedom. We are seeking freedom. We're seeking adventure. The 5 wants to be free more than anything else on the planet. And that is what we're all looking for, is personal freedom, right? And there's a lot of kickback with that right now. If you've been out in the world. The next card. And this is a big reading because we have 2 major arcana. So the major arcana is just like, these are big cards. These are cards to pay attention to. What do we want? We want to be the Fool. The Fool is not a bad card. Okay. People might think that it is not great, but the Fool is really like, it's time. It's time for you to take a leap into freedom. It's time for you to take a leap into your dreams. It's time for you to design your life on purpose.
On purpose.
Right? It's like, look, he's right on the edge. He's right on the precipice. And he's like, it's time for me. It's time for me to take a leap. It's time for me to stand in my power. It's time for me to recognize how powerful I truly am and to know that I'm held by the universe and that I am able to take a flying leap. And the zero in numerology is like the void. It's time to leap into the void. It's time to leap into the unknown. It's time to leap and say, I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that I'm going to be held and supported because I know that I am source energy, right?
Yeah.
Oh. And then the last card that I drew for us is the 7. The 7 is really a highly spiritual number. So the 7 of Swords is like time to leave that sneaky mindset behind. If you have any doubts in your mind, if you have any uncertainty in your mind, it's time to stand in your power and it's time to make friends with those things. Fear, anxiety, all of that stuff, grief, depression, anxiety, those all are going to continue to live in our universe. And it's up to you to decide how you're going to manage it. Are you going to succumb to it or are you going to call yourself higher? So really this is calling you into a higher space, a higher place in source, in spirit, really asking you to let go of the outcome, let go of the physical manifestation and know that the physical manifestation will come as you know who you really are and you remember who you really are.
That's so good, girl. So can I connect some dots? Can I do this? So as we're we got a little bit more to go, but I kind of want to pull this together. So I'm going back to your story where you're walking through Colorado and you have this awareness that ain't nobody coming to save your ass, right? Nobody's coming. And so you have this moment where you're like, I have to show up and do this, right? And so as I'm listening to this, this, as you've told your story and now you've pulled these cards, and I'm thinking about the listeners who are right now listening to this, that they may have really resonated with that sense, and that sense of, this is my own channeling here I'm having, I think,
I love it.
Oh my God, ain't nobody coming. But here's the good news about that, that it is time. And we are supported. We are source energy. It is time for us. You're actually halfway through that journey. You're not just starting it, right? You're already in play, even though you feel like you might be at the beginning. And that sense of where you're seeking freedom, the first thing that came to my mind, Jen, was that the biggest shackles we're in is an invisible prison that we create in our own mind. That's the freedom, right? Mm-hmm. It's not freedom external. It's the freedom that we can give ourselves. This fool is telling us to jump right into that place, even if it's into this delicious, seemingly kind of weird place of believing it's all good.
Yeah.
Which may seem really foreign, right? But that's that bit about just seek. And then what did you say here? It's time to leave that mindset, that, what did you use the word?
Oh, I said, this card makes, it's a sneaky, there's a sneaky vibe to this card.
I can't read my handwriting. And that sneaky mindset keeps telling us that we have to know how, or we are behind, and what do we do to scurry, or we've got to stay right where we are, even though it's just $25,000 a year, but my God, I learned how to do massage therapy, so I got to stay.
Right. Yeah.
Or that, well, if I'm not pregnant by now, I guess I give up. Yeah. Whatever it is, right?
Right.
Sneaky.
It's a sneaky mindset. And that sneaky mindset is prevalent among the people.
Isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I would say more people than not never even realize that that sneaky mindset is just a random thought. They believe it to be true.
Totally.
You know?
Intrusive thoughts.
Did I do that okay? Do you think that kind of some, well, did I take
I think
it off
you
the
are
wrong?
A very clear channel, my friend.
Okay. Well, that's certainly what I got. I'll take it.
So I like it.
The sense that, I guess what I'm taking away from you, which is so much, is this sense in that beautiful moment, that those moments that sometimes bring us to our knees or to a bench in Colorado or to a sad, you know, go, oh, that is, that those are the moments. Those are the moments. And then I used to say when I was a speaker, you know, you don't learn lessons, you know, you learn your lessons from the hard stuff, not by going to Disney World. Well, I'm going to modify that. Then at hell yeah, you learn it. We go to Disney World when it's being called to you to celebrate and have fun. And so
I love that.
I love you. I love you. I love this conversation. I know that we're kind of wrapping up, but I have a few questions I just want to kind of tap into here before till we sign off. I haven't asked you this specifically, but share with the folks, what do you do? How do you stay in this mindset? How do you stay in this heart space? What's your rituals, if you will, that keep you in this place?
Yeah. So I spend a lot of time in ritual, and I'm really glad that you said that, because I actually spend a lot of time in what I call living ceremony. Mm-hmm. And so my ritual is really like me drawing cards, right? Like I do this every day. I sit in meditation every day. That's my ritual. Mm-hmm. I sit in quantum expansion every day, and I create the life that I want to be seeing. And I think that all of those rituals equal my life as ritual, my life as ceremony, because those things are non-negotiable for me. And when I do them every day, it trickles into every single thing that I do. It trickles into every interaction that I have in public with my friends, with my family. It trickles into my parenting, which is so important to me. My Wyatt, obviously he's 8 and he is my most important job on this planet, is working with him and being with him and playing with him and living in ceremony with him. So my parenting is very ceremonial, for lack of better languaging. It's just really like I live my life as a ceremony. So my daily ritual it feeds into my whole entire life. It feeds into my practice. It feeds my vibration, because that is really the important thing. Everyone that I talk to says, I'm here to raise the vibration of the planet. What does that mean? Yeah. It doesn't mean that we're raising the vibration of the planet. It means that you're raising the vibration of yourself and your body, right, and this body that you walked, they walk through life in. And so mm-hmm. when we raise our vibration and we stay in that vibration, it becomes easier and easier and easier to stay in that vibration. And then when you mm-hmm. come off track, it's easier to get there. But I for sure lived in depression and grief and anxiety for a real long time. And that is very low vibration. It's shame, it's guilt, it's blame. And I chose to leave that behind. I chose to leave that in my past. And I chose to forgive it. And I choose joy.
Yeah.
I choose bliss.
Oh God.
Yeah. I choose life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I choose that every day. I think choice is a superpower that we have as humans. And that is my ritual.
It's choice. Absolutely. And how that dovetails into this is how why we are so in alignment here, Jen, is that how we do that is by making commitments, creating ritual or practices, whatever word you want, ceremony, which I love, is how do you show up and spend your time and your energy and your focus on what really matters, which is directly what I work with folks on. I mean, even down so far of when you're learning something new, I put meditate on my calendar every day, because if I don't put it down there, it is not yet fully integrated into who I am. If it's not on my calendar, I will not do it. I mean, I'll just admit that. Now there'll be a day where it won't be, but that's how we move in the direction, right, of creating a ceremony. Mm-hmm. You decide. So what is something, here's another question, what is something that I haven't asked you yet that you wish I had, that you wanted to talk about and I didn't ask you?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked that, because I forgot. Retreats.
Yes, Retreats is where we're going. You do them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't I actually don't have a lot of experience, but I am running a retreat in November with the beautiful Michelle Lane, and mm-hmm. it's called Embody Your Sacred Success. And we're going to be talking about all the things that we've been talking about, like right here, right now. Yeah. And I have wanted to run retreats for so long. I'm a huge adventurer, and I believe my values are freedom and trust and adventure and love. Mm-hmm. Always. I always have to check on love, but I want to bring people to the edge. I want people to come to the edge, right? The fool.
Like the fool.
And I want mm-hmm. them to feel that edge, and I want them to know what their edges are. And I want them to see that they can go beyond those edges, and that we can move beyond the comfort zone, and we can really go out there and do the thing. So our Embody Sacred Success retreat is going to be in Tahoe, California. And we are excited. It's happening here in November, and we have spaces open. We are it's going to be luxurious and beautiful and fun and spacious. And we're going to be in creation mode. And I just couldn't be more excited. I believe that is where we're going, is retreating. I want to gather with people in person. I love being physical with people.
Absolutely. I mean, I will tell you, I share the same dream. I have led retreats in the past, and that's, you know, more of that. More, please. Yeah, more. But I know Michelle, and I've seen you guys together, and I've seen the place that you're going to be doing it. I just know that that's such a delicious container, and I'll put all that in the show notes. Okay. So the connection all that will be in the show notes. Okay. Last question that I ask everybody. Are you ready? Is it dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Oh, I mean, that's not even a question, is it? It's dark chocolate.
Thank you. I'm just so far, I've not had to get anybody off my list.
I'm just really glad you didn't ask me if white chocolate was a thing. Because that should
it's not a thing. It's not even a thing. That is a stupid thing. It's not even a thing.
Dark chocolate all the way.
All the way. So one final question before I wrap this up, which I thought my dark chocolate was the last question, but if you could put your words for the world on your bumper sticker, you know, what would it be? Like 3, 4, 5 words. What is the thing you want people to know, to embody maybe? I don't know. What's the word?
In order to thrive, you must decide.
In order to thrive, you must decide. Let's write that down. That is so good. You guys, listen up. If in order to thrive, you've got to decide. And so what I want to say to you listeners, if you've been pinged and inspired and anything has been stirred up in you, first of all, pay attention, notice, and then do something with that. Reach out to Jen, reach out to me, pull over if you're driving and journal, buy a tarot deck, sign on, let Jen do some numerology with you. Just pay attention to the numbers. But I really want you to know that Jen and her work is phenomenal. You will grow and stretch and move beyond in any work you do with her. So please, please, please trust your nudges and reach out to her. Like I like to say this on the podcast, in our wonderful world, you could be talking to her on the phone in a day or two. That's how it works.
So true.
Right?
It's amazing.
It's a small world. Yeah. So as always, Jen, I love sharing space with you. You have touched my heart and I already knew you. I can't imagine what you've done to the listeners. And you're a healer. You're one of the most beautiful souls of anyone I've ever met. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mirror, Mirror.
Mirror, Mirror. Thank you so much for listening to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast, and I sure hope that you're taking away something that you can begin to use today. Speaking of things you can use, I have lots of free things over at sherryhoneycutt.com, and the one I want to highlight in today's podcast is something I call Work Your Butt Off, and I spell it B-U-T. Let's get those butts worked off, and it is a 30-day program to help you get your butts off the couch. It's 30 videos, it's a 75-page workbook, I think, and it's free to help you begin to take deliberate action toward getting that thing or those things done. So that's what I've got for you. I would love to invite you over to sherryhoneycutt.com. Click under cool stuff and you'll find that. You'll also find the link in the show notes and in the description of this podcast. Y'all, I'm here to help you take action because action is how we begin to get new thoughts around our life. So go check it out. Get your free copy of this course that I've designed and go and design your best life. Until next time.